Hi, well, welcome everyone. My name is Vinicius Fortuna. This is Juni. He's one of the great engineers at Offline. We have another Offline engineer over there. So we'll be talking about the technology we built. This is part of Jigsaw. Jigsaw is a group at Google that works on REST open societies. We work on projects like disinformation, toxicity online, radicalization, and I'm the engineering lead for the Internet Freedom team at Jigsaw. And our effort goes beyond Outline. Our strategy is to prevent, mitigate, and expose censorship. On the prevention side, we've worked on internet standards. For example, we chaired the working group at the IETF, the Internet Standards Body, to advance the encrypted DNS standard, and we bootstrapped the industry by adding support to the standard to the Google Public DNS, we added to Android, we added to Chrome, and we also released an app called Intra that was an encrypted DNS client, so that really bootstraps the industry and the encrypted DNS layer right now is an important piece of the proxyless strategies that Juni is going to talk about later. It's also like a prerequisite for encrypted client, although that some of you may know that hides the domain names in encrypted communication. And then on the exposed side, it's like about measuring and exposing censorship and also understanding so we can bypass censorship. So we've done work to make Google traffic data public in a way that is accessible and usable. So you have like libraries to use it and organizations use it to track internet shutdowns in different countries. And we also worked with organizations in the field like Censored Planet and Uni to also make their data more accessible and useful, including like building a dashboard of Censored Planet, which is a group by the University of Michigan, and write a paper on the methodology. So that's an exposed area. And then there's the mitigate, which is like circumvention tools, like we have the blogging happening now. And we build circumvention tools like Intra and Outline and other tech. And more recently, we are working with this Outline SDK, which is really making the technology from Outline and it's being proven and used by millions of people usable. Because being an app, being open source doesn't mean it's reusable. Building the SDK to make it reusable and make it easy to access a few steps. So I'm going to stop there. The main speaker here is Vivi Juni today, so I'll pass it on to him.
Cool. I will show the Jigsaw icon here. So it's covered by Juni. That's Jigsaw, and you can access our website through jigsaw.google.com. Let's get started. So first, I'd like to talk about the problem we are going to solve, which is censorship. Online censorship is a global issue, so when you access something and you see the 404 page, that means probably you're getting censored. Right. And internet censorship is still growing over the world, so you can see, surprisingly, like most of the countries are doing the online censorship now. And that's why we provide our solution, which is Outline VPN, we just talked before. It is a VPN product, but it's a decentralized VPN product. So you can create your own VPN server and use the client to access that server, and you can share access keys with your with your friends or with your colleagues to use your VPN server. So here we have two products. One is Outline Manager, the other is Outline Client. And you can share the access keys between them. So By creating your own VPN servers, you have a fully ownership of your server, so you trust what you've done to your server. You don't need to worry about privacy, you don't need to worry about the service is monitoring your traffic because it's all owned by yourself. And you can share the access keys to any number of offline clients. Let's jump into the first demo of this talk. I will show you the UI of Outline Manager here.
Why not?
So you can see here is the Manager UI. I have already created a server for the whole event here. And you can see you can create multiple keys. I've created a demo key and a main key. And when you click the share button here, you will be able to share the key. So here is the share dialog. You will see this is the Outline access key here. And you can also send invitations. So when you click copy access key, this access key is copied to a clipboard and you can send that over secure the message or secure the email to others. And I will show you this Outline client. So Outline client is a cross-platform client tool. It supports all major platforms, including all desktop and all mobile platforms. You can install it from the store or from App Store. Here is, I will show you the Linux version. So you can download it from our website, getoutline.org. I will show you a website later in the talk. And once you download it, you will see it from the downloads window. And feel free to double click it to launch the Outline client UI. And this is the client when you first download and see. We will show you the information page and you can see got it. And we will also monitor the clipboard. So if we found the Outline key there, we'll automatically prompt the add server thing. Once you added your server, you can see your server is added to this Outline client. You can type connect to connect. To confirm, actually, we will be doing something. So we will try to get the IP address of this environment, and it seems we're not doing it correctly. And one thing to troubleshoot is we can restart the machine in order to reset the network. We won't wait it for now because it took some time. We can show it later. Let's jump directly into the slides. The client will show the current IP address, and once you click connect in Outline client, the IP address will be changed to your home VPN server. So now, Outline client and Outline manager are very easy to use for end users, but for developers, they are not easy to use the features or reuse the features we are building. Like, we're building a lot of Outline server connection, we are based on Shadow Sox. If developer would like to use that, we created Outline SDK. And Outline SDK is a reusable, composable, and cross-platform to put to empower your app against censorship. So you can easily use all of these censorship circumvention tools and integrate them into your own app. Or you can even create your own VPN product using this SDK. And it's fully cross-platform. I mean, you can use it on any platform from desktop to automobile platforms as well. So Outline SDK consists of the following components. The first is libraries. We provided a lot of libraries for you to use to add network resilience to your own apps. For example, we provide transports with the first Shadowsocks, TLS, and WebSocket. We also provide proxy protocols like HTTP SOCKS 5. We also provide some proxy list strategies. We will show them later what are proxy strategies, for example, encrypted DNS, packet manipulations. And we also provided VPN APIs. For now, we provide a tuned to SOCKS VPN API based on lightweight IP, which is the C library to set up a user space network stack. So you don't need to rely on any specific operating system kernels in order to read, write, interpret, and forward IP packets or convert them into TCP or UDP packets. We also provide a mobile proxy. So mobile proxy will let you easily integrate these features into mobile apps, because developing mobile VPN is tricky. There are a lot of restrictions. You might need to use some VPN APIs. The mobile proxy allows you to do that easily. Altman SDK also provides some command line tools to experiment, measure, and prototype your own censorship circumvention strategies. We provide fetch, resolve, and HTTP to transport. So we will show these command line tools now. Today we will focus on these two areas, the proxy protocols and the proxy strategies, and the three command line tools. Let's start with the command line tools. First, I'd like to introduce the resolve, which is a dig or resolve DNS name if you're using Windows. It's similar to dig. For example, when you type resolve youtube.com, it will give you all the IP addresses of youtube.com. And we allow you to pass or some additional arguments as well. For example, you can specify the resolver to 8.8.8.8, and you can force TCP here. If you just want to get a CNAME, you can do that as well. And the output will be the AAS of YouTube.com. So this is a cross-platform resolve. And since we are implemented it in Go, so you can run it directly through this Go command. You just need to run Go. You don't need to. We haven't built any preview binaries, because you can easily run that through the Go command. And it will be built on a platform to be run natively. Similarly, we have fetch, which is a curl or JavaScript fetch, those function. When you type fetch, similarly with the ipinfo.io, you will get that ipinfo.io. The output will be a region. For example, if we are here in New York, the region will be New York. But we allow you to specify to accept an outline server key, and we just have, I just have shown you through outline manager, where you copy the key, you can paste the key here in the transport, and when you get the IP info again, it will show you the location of my VPN server, which is located in Singapore, and this is also what you're supposed to get when we run the curl command.
So there's another time.
So the third is HTTP to transport. It's a local web proxy using HTTP connect. So for example, you can start listening on a local port, listening on localhost 8080, and we also accept an outline server key. So this command will start a local web proxy listening on this IP address and port number, and the remote server is the outline key, which is pasted here. And now if you run curl without specifying the proxy, of course it will show your own local IP address region. And if you specify the proxy using dash X, and dash P means it will use HTTP connect. So it will show the IP address of your own server there. And that is what it's supposed to do. And you can also configure your own browser proxy to point to these local proxies, or your traffic within the browser will be routed to this offline shadow server. It doesn't have to be an offline server. We are compatible to any Shadowsock servers. So if you create a Shadowsock server, you can also generate this outline access key and to visit your Shadowsock server as well. So these are the three major command line tools we will cover today. And we also provide a lot of other tools. You can see our code, but we are fully open sourced on GitHub, and I will show you the link later in the talk. Any questions so far? Cool. I think we can dig more into the strategies. So you have seen the outline key we've shown before, start with SS column slash slash. That is what we call a strategy. So we will start with an empty strategy. So when you run an outline SDK command line without specifying that transport, that means an empty strategy. So MBA strategies means a direct connection to the target store. I will use a fetch example to show what it is doing. So you would like to fetch the YouTube website. You will first start establishing a TCP connection to YouTube.com. And once YouTube accepts that, a TCP connection will be established and you can read or write from that connection. That's the default MBA strategy. So if you don't specify anything, you're actually connecting directly to a target destination. We also have proxy strategies. The ShadowSocks key I mentioned before is a proxy strategy. And we also support other protocols like SOCKS 5. Here I will use SOCKS 5 as an example. So we have a strategy here, and of course you need some proxy because these are all proxy strategies, so you need a SOCKS 5 proxy. And fetch will still try to establish a TCP connection, so all these strategies are transparent to the users. And we use our SDK libraries, they are all transparent as well. So you just do a traditional establishing TCP connection with a strategy. And our SOCKS 5 strategy will try to establish a SOCKS 5 handshake with the remote SOCKS 5 proxy here. And when SOCKS 5 see that handshake, it will try to establish the actual TCP connection with the destination. And once all these things are established, YouTube will create a TCP connection with the SOCKS 5 proxy, and the SOCKS 5 proxy will return that TCP connection to the strategy, and the strategy will also return the TCP connection. So from a fetch perspective, it has no difference with the MPD strategy. It's the same, like you establish a TCP connection and you can read write from that connection. But under the hood, our strategy will do a bunch of these things, try to do all these things for the fetch, but it's all transparent to fetch. Fetch will think, okay, we're just fetching something from YouTube and we got the result. So that's proxy strategies. And we also have transport strategies. So transport strategies will marshal traffic over a specific. So transport strategies, it will marshal and unmarshal traffic over a specific network transport, for example, TLS or WebSocket. I will use a WebSocket as an example here. So for the fetch, and if we are going to establish some connection to rewrite some data to that WebSocket server, echo.websocket.org. For fetch, it will still try to establish a TCP connection. And as I said, it's completely transparent to fetch, so fetch will still try to establish a TCP. But our strategy will encapsulate into a WebSocket upgrade protocol with that target destination. And of course, later the fetch can send the TCP data or read TCP data from the strategy. And our strategy will also put that data into the WebSocket frame to the target server. And it will also read the WebSocket frames and try to unmarshal the TCP data and send it back to fetch. So from fetch perspective, it's still a TCP connection. But under the hood, under what our strategy is doing, is actually encapsulate it into a WebSocket protocol transparently to fetch.
Yeah, sure. So one cool thing about supporting WebSockets is that it allows you to run a proxy entry point on a CDN, so like Cloudflare and kind of thing. Typically, CDNs will not allow you to do HTTP Connect, which is the HTTP-based kind of proxy protocol, but they allow you to do WebSockets. So that gives you an entry point to your proxy. Which means that you're using the CDN IP pool, which is a shared pool. So in order to block your VPN or your proxy by IP address, they have to block into the CDN.
Cool. Okay, our next strategy is called the DNS protection strategies. So we provide a lot of DNS request protocols like DNS over HTTPS, DOH, which is pretty secure because it's fully encrypted, and we also provide other DNS over TCP or TLS options as well. So let's take an example of the DNS over HTTPS. So still prepare a fetch. the fans trying to establish a TCP connection with the destination YouTube.com. And our strategy sees Fetch is requesting something from a domain name, so it will send a domain name request to DNS.google. And because we specify the DOS server as DNS.google, and it will try to send a HTTPS-based DNS request to DNS.google. And DNS.google will return the IP address accordingly using HTTPS as well. In this case, strategy now will know the actual destination is 142.50.72.1.1.0. And then it will try to establish that TCP connection with this specific server, and it is one of the YouTube.com servers. And YouTube.com will successfully return a TCP connection, and our strategy will forward that connection back to Fetch again. So from Fetch's perspective, it's still establishing a TCP connection and read-write from that connection. But strategy is doing some more complicated things. It's trying to resolve in the DNS using HTTPS so there are no leaks, because censorships, because the traditional UDP-based DNS requests are clear text, and the sensors will be able to see all your domain names and they can easily block your domain name. But once you use HTTPS, it's all good because it's all fully encrypted. And the next is packet manipulation strategies. So it will modify the network packets in order to bypass some deep packet inspection censorship, such as the SNI-based blocking. So SNI is a concept in TLS when it is doing a TLS handshake. So sometimes the TLS client will put the server name indication into the client handshake, which is clear text, because when we're doing the TLS handshakes, we don't have any keys established yet, so it's not encrypted at all. And in that case, the sensor might see that domain name in clear text and they can block you as well. For example, when you establish a TLS connection with YouTube, sometimes the client will put YouTube.com into the TLS handshake as well. I will show an example here. So here, Fetch will try to, I will skip the TCP connection. So before the TLS handshake, you need to establish the TCP connection, and I will skip that for now. But for TLS handshake, Fetch will try to send the TLS handshake record in clear text. And by the definition of the protocol, you can actually split that record into two smaller records. So for example here, we show TLS, we will put the first 60 bytes in the first record and put the next 200 bytes in the second record. And these two records are still in clear text, but it will confuse sensors, because sensors will think, okay, typically you only send one TLS handshake and it will try to find some sensitive domain names in that packet, but what we are sending in record one is only 60 bytes. It might not even reach the SNI byte. So the sensors will think, cool, it's a good handshake, or maybe it's a malformed handshake, because the sensors doesn't know we're actually splitting that, and the sensors will let all these connections go to save the resource. Of course, sensors can memorize all your records and try to reconstruct everything in their own machine, but that will increase the cost of the sensor service, because the traffic might choose different servers or might even choose different routes, and the sensors need to synchronize all these memories with all the servers, and that's a huge effort, and it will use a lot of resources, including CPU power and memory power. So the goal here is not to completely pass censorship, but to increase the cost of censorship. And most of the sensors in the world doesn't implement that. And we will show you a demo later to show how we can use this TLS handshake fragmentation to bypass censorship. And once the TLS connection is established, the strategy will pass that connection back to Fetch again, so Fetch can redirect from the TLS connection. Yeah. Cool, so these are all the strategies we already supported in Appliance DK, and we also support some other strategies as well, but they are all, they will fall in one of the categories I mentioned before. And a more important concept of that is all these strategies are composable. So composable means you can combine different strategies and to construct a more complicated and a more censorship resilience strategies. So you can use, for example, you can use a pipe here to combine the DNS over HTTPS and the TLS fragmentation together.
And if you had three different outline servers, you can even create, connect the three servers into something similar to the linear routing. And you can also, if you want to have five over TOS, you can combine that too as well. So you can combine multiple strategies and use your imagination to create new strategies based on these existing built-in strategies. I will use the first one and an example. So here we have apps and we have the destination, which is youtube.com. And we have two strategies linked together. Please note the sequence is actually reversed from what we type in to the command line. So in command line, we type in DNS NORAD, CPS first, and then TLS fragmentation. Under the hood, we implement it reversely. So fetch will talk to TLS fragmentation first, and then to DNS NORAD, CPS. So in this way, the first one will be the strategy that facing directly to the internet, and the last one will be the one facing your user code, like in this example, which is fetch. So fetch will still start trying to establish HTTP connection, and the TLS fragmentation doesn't care about HTTP, so it will just forward that HTTP connection to the next strategy, which is the DOS, DNS, or HTTPS. And this strategy cares about the domain name, so it will try to send you use.com to connect.google, try to get the IP driver using HTTPS. And then it will establish the TTP connection with that IP address with YouTube.com. Next, once that TTP connection is established, that will try to establish the TOS connection well by sending the TOS traffic. This time, the TOS fragmentation strategy cares about it. We'll try to split that into two records. But the DNS NORAD CPS doesn't care, because it only cares about my name. It will forward that packet directly to YouTube. And we will send the second one as well to YouTube. So that client hello is split into two. And YouTube will return a successful DNS connection with our strategy. And we will return that connection all the way back to Fetch. So in this case, Fetch established a successful DNS connection with the remote web bias, bypassing the censorship using DNS over HTTPS and the TLS fragmentation. So that's for the composable strategy. Question? Alright.
Okay, we can do questions again.
Cool. Professor Good. And next, I'd like to talk about remote environment. So we talked about strategy and we've talked about all the command line tools. But we, as a developer, we are going to investigate what we can use in the specific region of the censored area to bypass censorship. Typically, when you measure censorship, it requires three steps. First, you need to set up a remote access area in order to test your strategy or test what is blocked and why it is blocked. You can use offline data as well. For example, you can set an outline server in the region and use that shared doc. You can also use DocSpy when that dash. You can create a local, create DocSpy property locally and connect it to the target server using SSH. Then you can use the DocSpy transport or strategy in upline data as well. So all the packets and all the traffic will be routed through this server. And a third option is some third party providers. We are using Solv, which is pretty easy because it supports most of the region in the world. But it's not free. You need to pay about $100 per month in order to use their service. but they're easy to use. And in the demo net, we wave that to show you how this. And once you set up the remote handshake, you need to detect the ship. You need to know what it entered, what you can access, and what you cannot. For example, you might detect an internet blocking to YouTube.com, or you might detect the TLS client hello server name indication blocking as well, as I mentioned before. And once you detected this censorship and bypass censorship, you will need to figure out a way to bypass all this censorship using either a building strategy, or you can create your own strategy, or you can compose different strategies, combine them together to construct a more powerful strategy to bypass censorship. Like here, you can use DNS over HTTPS to bypass DNS, and you can use the TLS fragmentation to bypass API blocking, and you can combine them using pipes together. Cool. We'd like to show a demo here. We have time. So I will launch the terminal here and try to run at the curl command again. And it seems it's working now. We're in New York City. And as I said, we can connect to our outline server. We just paste it here. Once you click connect, it will show a status connected. And when you run the code again, it should show the IP address of the server, which is Singapore, and we host the server in DigitalOcean. So we can see all this information here. And of course, we can disconnect from the VPN server. And once it's disconnected and you run it again, it's going back to our local IP address. It's a typical behavior of VPN server as people expect it. And what I'd also like to show is you can actually share more than one key. You can share a lot of keys. You can create a lot of the keys of your own server, and you can even change the port numbers. So when you click the settings, it allows you to configure the host name and even port. For example, we don't like this. We want to create a port at 8080 or 80, whatever you like. When you click save and you go back to your server management, you can add a new key with that port. You can name your key, maybe another key here. And you can also share that key with your customer. And in the key, you can see the port has been changed to 8080. So you can set up the port to be any number. Changing the port is used for some time because most of the sensors might block unknown ports, but they will let over 3 or 80 pass because they are HTTP and HTTPS port. So changing the port is sometimes useful. And you can also add your name, like my service here, and you can copy that key and share that with your friends. And your friend will be able to add multiple keys to the client as well. So once they at that server, it will show your own service name with the correct port number, which is 8080. And of course, your friend can connect to that server as well. And to show we actually connected, and when you query this IP address, it will show the Singapore thing. And sometimes, maybe the VPN service low, but can show that here. It's from Singapore. And you can disconnect from the key, and the old key is also working. You can connect using the old key as well. But you can also revoke the access for the key in your outline manager in order to, for example, remove people there. And you can also set other data limits and other things. So outline manager is pretty useful here. When you try to create your own server and share key. And we support a lot of service creation methods as well. For example, we will expand that and try to add a server. We support DigitalOcean, Google Cloud, and Amazon. And you just think with a single click, an outline server will be set up successfully. I will not click that because that charges a lot of money. Not a lot, about $6 a month. But yeah, just show everybody it's low.
Cool.
So that's supposed to be the first demo. So let's jump into the second, which is measuring YouTube in Ura. For the second demo, I will not use Outline or Outline Manager. I will switch to a new desktop here.
So the first command line I will show is live. Okay, can you see that here? Cool. So this command line is a fetch tool, which you can write directly from the command line using Go, but you need to install Go. And then you can fetch that IP info from this Go, and I will format it as a JSON using the jQuery command. And Go will, if you write first time, Go will try to download everything here and try to build it. And then it will run the binary. And you can see we fetched the correct the same jobs. You will see the IP here. So that's for the fetch command. Any command can be run in this way. So we don't need to install anything from any platform. So I'm using Mac here and run it from or desktop environments. In not mobile, but if you set up some sharing mobile, you might. Next, I'd like to show how to set up a remote connection here. So, for example, we are using the Starbucks server, and this is the transport we are going to use. I will first move that because we need to add that to the previous fetch command. So this so this is the fetch command here, and you can add the transport command line here. You can see we set by the timeout to be 10 seconds because it's pretty far over. And you can also support .5 here, and you, we hide the else credential in .5. And you can specify a specific country. Here I'm using Japan, but I will see that I will use Europe directly. Remove all these things. You can paste your own ISP or country previous there. So for example, here I will paste in the correct Iran section. So the highlighted part is the Iran thing. We have a long demo section. And in the country, we use the two character country name, IR, and also we specify the ISP as MTN Iran cell. So let's run that, and it will take a even longer time because we are actually going all the way to Iran. And but luckily, successfully returned an Iran IP address to us, which is 5.1.1. And you can see the ISP is MTN, Iran Barrel, and the city is Iran, and of course, the country is Iran. So we successfully support the remote access in Iran here. And the export is pretty long. So in that case, I want to save some typings by exporting a Iran .stream word. And we will try to fetch YouTube from Iran .docs. And we expect it to fail because most of the time YouTube is blocked in Iran. And we're using the same fetch with the Iran software transport,
confess, yes, to give you the pump, and if it should fail, that should be expected, because we haven't added anything to it, and it will pretend that the request failed. So I'm out, because it's blocked. What we suspect is maybe Iran is doing a DNS blocking. In that case, let's go back to the previous command and let's pipe ping the DNS request there, the DNS REST-GPS, using Cloudflare as a DNS request and trying to do the patch beautiful thing. It should also fail as expected. That failure is not expected because I typed two pipes there. You only need to type one. Let me remove that and write again. But still, you might see different errors in this case. You might see timeout. You might see handshake failed. It will happen during my test. Today we're seeing timeout. So what I'm going to do is we think there might be some TLS SNI blocking happening there. So I will try go back to the server with the same command, but we will add the TLS fragmentation before the DNS over HTTPS. This is important and you can think of why this is important and what the difference between putting it before the DRS and what is the difference between putting after the DRS. But this time, when you try to learn that, it will be pretty slow because we are querying DNS servers, we are doing TLS fragmentations, we try to set a lot of things, do timeout, or cancel. Let's say hopefully it will be working this time, but if not, I will try to see whether or my
example.com.
I'm trying to reinsure the soak session is good. I will try to fetch the IP info from the on soak session, so until and retool. So basically,
your session, I think.
Yeah, so the session timeout, so or we need to refresh the session somehow. And
sure.
And but yeah, I can talk through that, and people feel free to ask any questions. Yeah, some final slides here. For the DNS REST-GPS and the TLS file hello recognition, we have an app called Intra, and it's pretty useful. You can use that bypass censorship without needing a processor. Let's recap. So we talked about offline SDK, we talked about apps, some apps, and there are a lot of third-party apps there, and you can add your own apps here as well. And here are some open source resources you can use. We publish our code on github.com, so it's all public. Thanks. And any questions?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're funding from Google, correct?
Yeah, for the funding.
It's part of Google's like social responsibility efforts. Google wants to give back to the community, so it's being invested like unions in this area and deep governance and
just
and we are focused on that field, but it's really a way for Google to give back to society.
How would we be sure that we're not
Yeah, and I hear that, and we've been managing this community for like 8 years already, and the way we address those problems is by making the code fully open source. We can go, and
backed, and we also have security audits by recommendations in the digital rights community. And like, if you're running your own server, it's not other than servers. You can expect the server original push, for example. Like, we don't see that. And you can more move all the traffic. Like, our clients are not Google services. Maybe one of the users are kind of Google, but you can see and monitor all those things if you want to.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, it's on time, but if you have any questions or want to try more things, feel free to join us at workshop at 3 p.m. today. And you can check it in the topic, I guess, in the week. Thank you.